All right. So we see this in chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 6. It says, and Jesus said, watch out for to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And just for sake of time, I'm going to jump forward to verse 12. And they did, and they understood that he was, did not say beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we're going to see why. And we're going to see why right now. And he says, verse 13, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they asked, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because see, who you say I am, that is the thing that everything else is going to hinge upon. Whether or not you're blessed is going to be depending on who do you say I am. Whether or not you're following after me depends on who do you say I am. Whether or not you can receive from me depends on whether or not and what you say I am. Because we begin to see this being revealed to us here. Because if you go into it, it says, and Simon Peter asked, and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He began to settle the identity issue. This is the first time we see it recorded that the identity issue was settled and it was recorded at that moment as Peter is doing it. But see, when Peter did that, he acknowledged him as the Christ. That means now he can receive him as the Christ. Until you identify him as the Christ in your life, you can't receive from him as the Christ. Until you identify him as the healer, you can't receive the healing. Until you identify him as the redeemer, you can't be redeemed. Until you receive him as your deliverer, then you can't be delivered. So when his acknowledgement, by his acknowledgement, he set in motion a whole lot of things he didn't even understand. Because he chose to acknowledge who God is. He chose to acknowledge who the Son was and who the Son that was standing in front of him represented. Because he recognized in that statement, not only was he standing in front of him as a Son, but he was also recognizing that there was a Father who sent him. And because of that, he could now have access to the Father who sent him. So what we want to do now is begin to see what happens after this. Because your acknowledgement of God in your life is the thing that separates you from your neighbor. How much you acknowledge him, what you acknowledge him for, those are the things that begin to set a tempo for everything else that's going to come after. And the more that you recognize that he is right here, he is with me. When I recognize him as Father, now I can become a son. When I recognize him as the one who's loves me, then I can become loved. Whatever it is that you have need of, when you recognize him in it, now you can respond to him. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for the Son for the flesh and blood did not reveal to this, but my Father who is in heaven. There's only one source for a connection like that. We can have a logical understanding of something without ever having a connection and a revelation of it. Yeah. Let me explain that. Before I got saved, I had a logical understanding that Jesus said he was the Son of God. But until the moment I accepted him, I didn't have a revelation what that meant. When I had a revelation of what that meant, it changed my life. Logical understanding doesn't change anything. A logical understanding only leaves you in the same mess that you were in 5 minutes ago. But a revelation will bring the freedom. A revelation will change your life. It changed my life. It changed your life. You wouldn't be in here in this particular church if it hadn't changed your life. Amen. Come on. Come on. So blessed are you, Simon Barjona. And so I say to you also that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. The gates of Hades shall not overpower it. You know, we've been teaching on the emotions. I can't say we. I was teaching on the emotions for several different times now. And I want to just say this. Your emotions are either going to serve God, they're going to serve heaven, or they're going to serve hell. Boy, I just total quiet. That should have been like, amen, Pastor, just so you don't think anybody was thinking about you, right? Come on. So I'll give you, and so the gates of hell shall not overpower. They shall not overpower. You know, when we're building God's church, there's a promise for you right there. The gates of hell can't prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I believe this is something that we have not taken nearly enough advantage of in the church. There's a whole lot of confusion about binding and loosing and all that. Everybody gets caught up in the confusion, but they don't get caught up in the doing. And I can tell you that there's a lot to be gained by the doing. In other words, a lot to be gained by beginning to bind things up and recognize that whatever I do here is having an effect in heaven. And whatever I do in heaven is an effect having an effect in here. Because when I begin to understand that and I begin to step into that, I have a promise of God here. It was promised. He said, I'm going to give it to you. In other words, as soon as I graduate from here, guess what's coming to you, Peter? Guess what's coming to you, Mike? Guess what's coming to you, Tom? It doesn't, in other words, that's a graduation moment when he starts giving you the keys. So what do the keys do? Hello? Keys open locks. Keys close locks. Binding and loosing. Keys loose by opening. Keys lock or bind. Simple as that. We don't have to make it complicated, guys. Let's not make it complicated. Because see, whatever is bound in the earth now by your faith, when your faith is in God and you're aligned in Him, is now locking the other side also. And so when you come and you stand before the Lord Jesus and you begin to pray and you begin to intercede and you begin to get in alignment with Him, that is a moment where now whatever you're binding there or whatever you're loosing there is getting loosed also in the earth. It's time for us to quit trying to do it just in our own strength. How many of us have, some of us were that person, but how many of us also have seen addicts trying to get free on their own? It's a horrible, miserable process. But when God does it, it's like that. It's like that. It's a simple thing in God's eyes. It's a simple thing when He's the one who begins to bind up the issue. It's a simple thing when He binds the enemy off of your life. You don't have to try to do it all in your own strength anymore. Hallelujah. When you're binding and loosing, guess what? You're representing the kingdom. Isaiah 22:22, Eliakim was given the keys of David. There was one other person given the keys of David, that was Christ. And so we see that in Revelation 3:17 or 3:7 if you want to go look it up. But the whole point of this is that Eliakim was given the keys of David to represent David in all of his transactions. What we're doing when we begin to engage the binding and loosing that's given to us is we're representing heaven in our transactions in this earth. Because in that way, we can begin to say what heaven, we begin to really, especially if you're tapping into heaven, you're at a first-hand glimpse of what is being offered, and now you can release it. When you come, we've, and not, you know, I know you won't quite catch all that, but when you come into the River Jordan and you come and he's going to wash you and cleanse you, you're loosing what the enemy has sent against you. When you go and you step in and you begin speaking the word of God on you, now you're binding his heavenly atmosphere around you. Who's he giving this to? He said, remember, when he was speaking to Peter, he said, my church. He's given this power and authority to the church so that we can come together. And remember the unity that I talked about? When we come together in a spirit of unity, guess what? Now the things that we're doing become effective through his word, through his promise, through his transaction that he is willing to release on your behalf. Bind means to lock or put under obligation of the law, to tie up. So what we do when the devil's not on you yet, we can bind him up and tie him up before he gets to you. That means you don't have to go through that trial. But if he's already upon you and he's already engaged with you, now we loose him and get him away from us because we don't need to have to do that anymore. We can get washed in the Jordan and get baptized in something new. Yes. That's loosing. That's letting it go. Get it out of here. It doesn't have any property here. It doesn't have any possession here. It needs to leave. Those are the things that he's wanting us to do. It's not just saying some magic word. Well, I bind and loose that. It's not a magic formula. It's a spiritual principle that God says, I'm going to come with you and I'm going to back you up for what you're doing in my name. Where you represent me, I'm going to be the authority that's behind you. And whether that's letting go of something or holding or grabbing on to something that you didn't have before and being clothed with something new, I'm going to be there backing you up. Amen? Yeah. Amen. See, the church has an opportunity here to legislate from the spiritual realm. Legislate from the spiritual realm. Legislate means basically to make, somewhere I have a note on that. Make or enact law. If we're making a law or enacting a law. Guess what? When Holy Spirit comes, John 16, what does it say? He's going to come and he's going to convict people of their sin and of their righteousness and of their judgment. Why? Because when he's convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment, what is he doing? He is basically coming and helping you see who you really are, and he's helping you enforce who you really are. It takes two parts. We not only got to see who we are, but we also have to enforce it. And so the Holy Spirit comes alongside you to enforce. When you know the enemy's already been judged, that's what it says in 16:11, John 16:11. The enemy has already been judged for his actions. And all we have to do is stand there and go, Jesus, that guy over there, fix it. Fix it. Because he's getting up in my grill, and I don't need that up in my grill no more. Fix it, please. Thank you. Hallelujah. I brought up all that about the Pharisees because guess what? Peter got accepted because of his willingness to see and reveal who Christ was. His willingness to acknowledge who Christ was. But the Pharisees, as we saw, knew who Christ was, but refused to say it. Refused to acknowledge it before the people. They were willingly unrepentant. There's a word that I learned over this weekend, which I will give to you. It's contumacious. Contumacious. Okay? And it means this. I know it's a long word, right? Contumacious. Come to Jesus. I like that, yeah. But contumacious means stubbornly or willfully disobedient. I'm not looking at anybody who's contumacious in here. Well, I don't know. Am I? I'm not looking at anybody willingly contumacious in here. But see, the Pharisees were contumacious. They were willingly disobedient. They were stubbornly disobedient. And because of that, the blessing of God couldn't come upon him. The revelation of what Christ was couldn't come upon him. Why? Because they were choosing not to receive. They were choosing not to be a part. They were choosing it, and it was their action and their choice that made them not a part because of their own rebelliousness. They knew who he was supposed to be, and yet they chose not to step into that possibility. It's very important. See, every action, every thought, every belief system within us is setting us up for God's blessing or setting us up for the removal of his presence. As we step with him and we begin to acknowledge who he is, when we're acknowledging who he is, Tina, then we're stepping into his process. We're stepping into his life. We're stepping into the hope that he represents. But it takes a conscious thought for those things. It takes an intention of our heart for those things. Me knowing about the Word of God never changed me until I knew the Word of God. Does that make sense? Until the Word knew me and I allowed that process. When I allowed that process, it changed my life. I've known people who could quote the whole Bible. I think you probably know who I'm talking about. Who could quote the whole Bible from memory, and yet the Word of God wasn't alive in their life. It's not a matter of head. It's a matter of when you've acknowledged him in your heart. Whether when you allowed him to change you. And now that's something that can begin to come into agreement and alignment. Hallelujah. Zechariah 3:7 says it this way: if you'll walk in my ways and perform my service, I'll give you charge over my heart, over my house, and free access among those who walk here. Talking about in heaven. Free access to ascend and to be with him. Free access to come into his presence. Free access to come and get his wisdom so that when you release into the earth, you're releasing God's wisdom and not just your opinion. So much of our opinion is formed by our emotion instead of God's truth. So when we begin to add God, when we begin to find God's truth because we spent the time with him, now that truth can be released and begin the process of change. Glory. I forget. There was a preacher who said this, and at this moment I'm forgetting what his name is, but the authority to operate from eternity in history. That's what is binding and loosing. The authority to operate from eternity in history. Because see, whatever you do today is history tomorrow. Whatever I do now is history in 5 minutes. It's history. Now it's history again. Now it's history again. Whatever I'm doing right now becomes history in just a moment. But I can operate from eternity as I begin to engage what's going to become history. what your history says about you. The memorial that you create says where you've been. The memorial you create says who are you and what are you believing and what are you looking for. Every one of us has a memorial behind us. Now, there was a time when I probably couldn't have been very proud of my memorial. But there's a memorial that's being created that is coming. It's the sum of all the things that you have done in Christ. In Acts 9, you know, you see Cornelius and the alms that he gave had become a memorial unto the Father. A testimony of where he stood and that he stood with the Jewish people even though he was a Gentile. See, he created a memorial. Every one of us is creating that because why? Because we're allowing history, we're allowing eternity to flow in us as we're creating our history. Tony Evans, that's who said that. I finally remembered. Glory to God. So I'm asking you, what are you receiving? What are you receiving? What are you tuning out? Because see, the difference between receiving something and not receiving it is whether or not we'll focus on it. Whether or not we'll choose to receive it. Whether or not we just sit there and, you know, we hear the word and the word goes in and then it goes out. It doesn't matter. See, I'm not just saying this because I'm up there here preaching. I'd say it if LaRue was preaching too. I'd be receiving because I want to be a good student. Whether regardless of anything else, I want to be a good student. And I have learned that I can receive something from just about everybody. I remember one time I went to this because this little 9-year-old girl had a trip to heaven with God. And I was like, pray for me. And she prayed for me. And it was remarkable. In less than 2 weeks, I had an encounter with God like you would not believe. But see, when we humble ourselves, we position ourselves to receive. If we humble ourselves, we can receive from whoever and whatever. It doesn't matter. Somebody who may have a lesser revelation than you still has something that you can receive. Somebody who may not know God the same way you know God still might have something that they can give you. But you have to have an open heart to receive it. So when we humble ourselves, now we can receive. We exchange with those that we can receive with. God has an exchange set up. The Lord. So see, your thoughts are just like this lock. They're opening or they're closing. Your thoughts are opening or closing your future. They're opening and closing the kingdom of God. They're opening. You know, when I feel somebody pulling on the Spirit, when I feel somebody pulling on the Holy Ghost, it opens me up like nothing else. I can tell you. I can tell when somebody's pulling on it because it opens me up. I don't even have to open it because it opens me up. Mindful when somebody's not ready. They don't want to hear it. They're going to back up, back up, back up. It closes that flow. Hallelujah. Glory. So why are we binding? Why are we loosing? Who do you say that he is? Because that's going to tell you what you're binding and loosing. That's going to tell you what you're grabbing a hold of, Edward. That's going to tell you where your future's heading. Whatever you're willing to grab a hold of and get and connects to God in. You know, we can affect. This power to bind and loose can unlock and lock relationships. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit here. But see, for Labor Day, we traditionally have all of our family over for Labor Day, and we have just mounds and mounds of food out and all that that's going on. And, you know, everybody's there enjoying the pool, enjoying the food and all this. And so we get to a Saturday, and I could tell something's off, but I don't know what. You know, sometimes guys are clueless. Should I quote that? Don't say that again. Huh? So here's the deal, is that I could tell something, and so we were discussing, you know, the setting up for the event on Labor Day, getting all the food and all the people and everybody contacted and all that stuff, and it, you know, became apparent that there was some, shall we say, friction? Let's just say friction. And in this friction, I was like, okay, well, what's going on? I said, so what actually is happening here? And she said, well, I told you I didn't want to do it. She didn't want to do it. And so, because it wasn't because she was being selfish or anything. It was because she's in the middle of just starting this new diet and just rocking it, by the way, and in that process. Amen. And so, and this is something I fully support, and I want to be with her on that journey. Okay. But when she said, I told you, I went back and I went, you know, go through the files, and then there was like, like a week ago, there was a time when she said, I don't want to do this. Of course, she left out the context. Because when she said, I don't want to do this, she was still continued to plan for the event. So I thought, I don't want to do this means that I'm a little uncomfortable. That's not what she meant. I didn't interpret that. I interpreted it as, oh, it's going to be a little uncomfortable for her. Okay, but where she's ready to go, we're going. Let's keep going. No, what she meant was, I don't want to do this. Stop. End of story. So then I had to repent because I didn't hear her correctly. I had to repent because I didn't hear her correctly. Because she said what she meant, but I took it for something else. I took it for what I wanted. Yes, absolutely. I was just in a roll and in a flow. I was going and I was making plans. I'm acknowledging LaRue. Yes. That's good. So I repented, number one. That wasn't always the easiest thing to do, but because I realized, yes, she actually did tell me. I just didn't listen, and then I didn't interpret. Because I interpreted the way I wanted to interpret. And so once I took the pressure off and said, baby, I want, you know, if you want to cancel it, we'll just cancel the whole thing. We'll walk away and I'm good. Once I took the pressure off, because I said, you know, the most important thing to me is you. You know, the rest of them are my family, but they're not you. And so when I began to take the pressure off and began to honor her in that, then she said, well, we could do it and just tell them not to bring food. And that's what we did. A whole nother situation came up, and it was not the normal way that we do it, but everybody had a great time, and they even stayed later than normal, which I don't know because we didn't feed them. I guess most of the time they're going home. They're so stuffed they're going home early because they got to go to sleep. I don't know. But the deal was is that we all had a good time. Why? Because we came to a new place of understanding. And she now knows that she's more important to me than all the rest of that. See, that's how you begin to bind with God. You begin to bring, we loosed off that other stuff that was floating around there for a few minutes that was keeping, you know, that was causing that, what we call it, friction. So we loosed the friction, and then we began to bind together in His love. Amen? So that's just a practical example of how it can work out in your relationships. It takes letting go and being humble. Being humble. Because I didn't really think I did anything wrong at first. So I had to humble myself to go, you know, she really did say it because I can remember. But when she said it, we just glossed over it. So I glossed over it. Yes. Unless there be any more friction, I glossed over it. Thank you. I've got 10 with the women and 5 with the guys. They recognize truth, but they don't want to really examine that. Glory to God. Yes. So turn with me to Matthew 18. We'll send you out the door with a little bit more. So I really do apologize for not paying correct attention the first time. So... And you guys learn to recognize when things are off. You might be the reason that they're off. Just. Just put a final dagger in that. But look at verse 18. It says, truly I say to you, whatever. How big is whatever? How big is whatever? Unlimited, all-encompassing. Whatever is as big as you can imagine. And he says, whatever. Whatever. You bind on earth. Shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Yeah, Matthew 18:18. So this is set. You always pay attention to the context, except when I'm talking to Kim. This is set in a context where he starts the chapter talking about the little ones. And then he goes there and he tells you, I'm just captured by this thought. And in verse 10, he says, see, do you not despise one of these little ones? For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. So somebody that we might not even think anything of, they got an angel up there looking at the face of the Father. Somebody that we're mad at has a face of an angel looking at the Father. Somebody that we can't stand has an angel up there looking at the Father. That ought to add a little bit of respect into our demeanor and our conversation. Glory to God. Okay. And then we jump down, and so he says, and you know, he talks about you know, if you have 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, well, this is love, self-sacrifice. In other words, one of my sheep is astray. I got 100. I got 99 left. Why do I care about the other one? No, don't go back and get it. Go back and get it. Go back and rescue and behold him and bring him back into the fold. See, that's the background that he makes these next statements with. Because you can tell that because in verse 15, if you're reading out of the King James, it says, moreover. If you're reading out of the New American Standard, it says, and. Those are connective words. When moreover is there, it's saying, okay, all that stuff that was just before me, now I want you to know that, take that in context to what I'm about to release. And then he begins to speak about how to, if your brother sins, in other words, if somebody trespasses against you, what you're supposed to do. But I want you to do it with keeping in mind that God is for the one that's lost. He's for the one that's vulnerable. He's for the one that's small and not able to protect themselves. I want you, when you deal with them, to respect that first, because it's going to change how you interact with the one that's in front of you, the one that harmed you. You know, and you know, it's easy to say this and get excited about it in church, but when somebody's in your grill and they're offending you, it's a little harder to remember in that moment. You know, I've had we got word this week of somebody who launched threats and whatnot, and so my first response was to sit down and just begin to pray. To pray. Why? Because that stuff, that's not who they really are. That's not the person that's supposed to be there. That's not the heart that's supposed to be released from this person. So we begin to intercede for them so that they can receive what God actually has for them and let go of those things that have been bothering them. Hallelujah. That's all I need to say about that. So it gives you these steps, but it's right smack in the middle of this, and then the next thing he begins to speak about is forgiveness. When we're forgiving, we're loosing ourselves. We're loosing ourselves. We're releasing the trespass. We're letting go. We're actually putting an assignment against that trespass. And we're beginning to intercede and begin to, that's the next step, is don't just get it off of you, but put something on them called God. Begin to intercede for them and begin to let the Lord go and deal with their case. Not out of your frustration or your need, but you let the Lord deal on their case out of their need. Because that person that came against you and is hurting you is probably hurting themselves. They need something. That man that jumped out of the car at Tina needed something. He needed to experience God. If he'd have jumped out, he might not see Glock, but anyway. Whatever situation you find yourself in, use intercession as your first means. It says here, verse 19, again, I say to you, two of you on earth shall be, if two of you agree on earth, that's an important part to get in there, about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered in my name, there I am. There I am in their midst. That's why church is is powerful. That's why we come together. It's not just to hear some good words. It's not just to praise and worship. It's not just to pat everybody on the back. It's also so we can come and touch and agree and begin to come together as believers and become together as those who are part of the body of Christ and begin to recognize everything that the body of Christ has and stand in the authority he has given to bind and to loose so that we can break off every situation that needs to be broken off and stand under everything that needs to be stood under. It's our God-given right. See, the first was addressed The first time Matthew had said this, it was addressed to Peter. The second time is addressed to all of us. He reiterates it, and it's addressed to all of us. Specifically, when we're having to deal with forgiveness. Specifically, when we're having to deal with trespasses. So, as we stand in this place, we can recognize the fullness of his love that can operate in us and now through us as we make that intercession. It's interesting that Matthew was the only one who recorded this. Now, John recorded something else. He said, if you forgive, it's forgiven. If you retain, it's retained. John 20. But Matthew was the only one, and I believe that's because he's an accountant. He was a tax collector, so he was an accountant. And he understood the ledger. A ledger has two sides. And he understood when we bind, we're loosing ourselves from something else. If we're binding ourselves to God, we're loosing ourselves from the world. When we begin to loose the world, now we're beginning to bind ourselves to God. I believe that was the reason he saw it, and that's the reason he multiplied it. All right.